chapter 27 tonight, Exodus chapter number 27. This is our Old Testament book that we're studying through together. And while I'm thinking about it, let me go ahead and tell you that I do have another picture for you as you leave tonight, just to kind of hope to help remind you of what you're going to hear preached tonight. And the ushers, I believe, will have these at the back door and hand you a copy of it. So I hope you're collecting these and keeping up with these as we preach through the tabernacle together. Exodus chapter 27, just two verses of Scripture. We've preached down through verse number 19. We pick up our study in verse 20. Chapter 27, verse number 20. Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. Notice the phrase in verse number 20, the phrase oil for the light. Oil for the light. And I preach to you on that subject tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we gather around your word for our hearts to be calm, our minds to be clear, and may you speak to us in a clear voice. Help us to get this, help us to understand it. May you change our life. In Jesus' name, amen. In these two verses before us, we have a truth concerning the tabernacle that can change our lives. These verses deal with the oil for the light within the tabernacle. Now, the light spoken of here is the golden candlestick. We've already preached on that in chapter number 25. It's important to remember when we preached on the golden candlestick that once the flap of the tent was closed behind, if you will, the priest had only the light of the candlestick to serve by. Now, you remember that if you go back and listen to the message on the golden candlestick. It's important to understand that once the flap was closed, natural light was excluded from the holy place. We learned how the candlestick is an accurate picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the only way to God, and He's the only acceptable light in the presence of Almighty God. We cannot approach God in our own natural light, but we must come by way of the golden candlestick, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage you, just in case you've forgotten, like probably I have as well, all the details when I preached on the golden candlestick. Go back and get it. It's on the website or request it, whatever the case may be, and get this detailed information again on the golden candlestick. Now today we come to an absolute essential for the light to shine from the golden candlestick. That essential was this oil that's spoken about in these two verses. Now oil in the Word of God is a symbol, it's a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, as we consider the oil for the light, we're speaking of the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Now this being the case, I brought something with me. Miss Johnson got this for me, or for the church. I appreciate her doing that to hold the oil in that we anoint people with. And I've not put the oil in it yet, but I thought this was appropriate. It's got the word oil right on the outside of it. So I want you to take this, and I'm going to set it just right over here. It's on my level now, and I put it right there. But I'm going to leave it right there, because if you don't leave with anything else but one thought, I want you to look at that bottle that has the word oil on it. And I want you to think about who that oil represents. That oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. Now that being the case, let me just give you several thoughts, really by means of introduction. And I'm going to give you the last point, which is the sermon tonight. You'll understand it when I get to it. First of all, quickly, we notice the purity of the oil. We see this in verse number 20. The first thing we note about the oil for the light is how it was to be pure oil, the Bible calls it. Pure oil. The word pure means clean. It means clear. One man said, leaves, twigs, dust, and all foreign matter had to be removed from the olives in order that the light might burn its brightest. So this oil wasn't just to be taken out of the olives. It was to be cleansed. It was to be pure. It was to be clean. That's the purity of it. Secondly, we notice the pounding of it. This is found in verse number 20 where the Bible says it's to be pure oil olive beaten for the light. See that word beaten there? See, one way the oil was pure back in this day was due to the beating of the olives. That's interesting. When you look this up and you look up the word beaten, when you look it up, it's interesting. As one commentator put it, it says that oil, that is oil not squeezed out by a press or a mill, but such as ran freely from the olives, get this, when you bruise the olives. You bruise the olives. You beat it. You pound it. You don't squeeze it. You don't put it in a mill. You don't grind it. No, you bruise it. And when you bruise it, oil will come out. I'm so tempted to get ahead of myself. Number three, not only the purity and the pounding of the oil, but number three, the purpose of the oil. In verse number 20, we see that the purpose was to cause the light, the lamp, to burn always. The purpose of the candlestick was to give light, remember? That's a direct quote, give light. That was the purpose of the candlestick. And it was the only means of light in the holy place. No natural light was allowed. Without the light of the candlestick, the priest would not have been able to see what they were serving, not able to see what they were doing in the service of the Lord. The oil for the light, now get this, the oil for the light is what was given to cause the lamp to burn always. You know what that tells me? The oil was an absolute necessity. It was an absolute essential. It had no oil, it would not shine. If it had no oil, it would not burn. It had to have the oil because the purpose of the oil was to make and help the light shine. That's the purpose. Number four, we see the preparation of the oil. This is found in verse number 21. Notice the Bible says that Aaron and his sons were to order the oil. When you look up the word oil, you know, order there, you know what it means? It means prepare it. They were to prepare it morning and evening. Prepare it morning and evening. Order it. Prepare it. Make it ready. Put it in. Morning and evening. This means, get this now. Now I'm going somewhere with all this here momentarily. This means there was always to be fresh oil added to the candlestick. It had to be added constantly. Notice as well that this was to be a statute, in verse 21, this was to be a statute forever under their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. Now we've seen the purity of the oil, the pounding of the oil, the purpose of the oil, the preparation of the oil. Now I'm going to start applying this by giving you what I've called the pictures of the oil. Now that we've given this brief overview, we turn our attention to how can we apply this? How can we apply that the oil was pure, that it had to be pounded, it had to be bruised. Its purpose was to cause the lamp and light to shine. And it was to be prepared morning and evening, fresh oil all the time. How can we apply that? Well, we know that everything in the tabernacle, first of all, this is letter A under this, we see the first picture is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is how I've been applying everything in the tabernacle, and it's no different here. But I'm just going to tap this on the head because we know Jesus is the candlestick. And the first and obvious application of the oil is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get this. The Lord Jesus Christ is the pure Lamb of God who was anointed and beaten or bruised to provide light to approach God. Now get this. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let me tell you what a beautiful picture the Lord is in the tabernacle. He's the golden candlestick anointed with fresh oil. He's the golden candlestick anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. John 3:34, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about the olives had to be beaten, had to be bruised to bring out the oil. Get this, Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now this is where we've gotten so far. This is really all introduction. We've noticed the purity of the oil. The oil is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the oil is a picture of in the Word of God. The power, the influence, the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, we see the purity of that oil. It had to be clean because that's who the Holy Spirit is. He's clean, he's pure, he's holy. It had to be pounded. He was not provided until the bruising came. And once the bruising came and the Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, then the Holy Spirit of God can now indwell God's people. The purpose was to, it was an absolute essential that the light shine in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, with the oil that represents the Holy Spirit. The preparation, morning and evening, evening and morning, evening to the morning, there's constant need of fresh oil. We see that this pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, but here's the sermon for us tonight. This is the way the Lord really spoke to my heart, and that is with picture number two. And that is a picture of God's children. Now stay with me here. While the Lord Jesus Christ is on display for us throughout the tabernacle, and it's no different with the oil that's added because he's anointed with the Holy Spirit of God, one way the Lord really spoke to my heart about the oil is in reference to our need, my need, for the power of the Holy Spirit of God upon my life. Studying the oil can change our lives and can be a real challenge to the children of God. Now, there are four points I gave you by means of introduction: the purity, the pounding, the purpose, the preparation. I want to take those same four thoughts and I want to show you how the oil that pictures the Holy Spirit applies to our life as God's children with those same four points. Here we go. Number one under this, the purity involved. Would you agree tonight that we need the power of the Holy Spirit? God's work cannot be done in the energy of the flesh. God's work must be done in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And in order for us to have His power, we must be clean. We must be clear. We must be pure. Just as the oil was pure with leaves and twigs and dust and all foreign matter removed in order for the light to shine its brightest, even so, we must be pure, and all leaves and twigs and dust and foreign matter must be removed in order for the oil to make contact with the light so it shines brightest in our lives. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Peter 1:16, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. It's related in the biography of one who lived to become a devoted Christian man. And he was yet a little boy, And the passage read from the Bible in the family on a certain occasion was verse number 20 of our text. This is what they read in family devotions, verse number 20. Describing the oil used in the vessels of the tabernacle. This boy was then only 5 years old, and it was not supposed that he could understand or feel the slightest interest in a subject considered far beyond his age. The older children left the room after family worship, but the little boy was detained. He was held back, as usual, to be taught some simple verses of the Bible by his mother and to pray with her. He kneeled down at length to pray as a 5-year-old boy. And in the midst of his prayer, he paused. And the story says he exclaimed earnestly. In other words, just with fervency, a 5-year-old boy said, and I quote, "Oh my God, make me to burn this day with pure oil." 5 years old. How appropriate is this petition for the morning offering of every Christian? Such a man who says, "God, help me burn with pure oil today." Such a man that makes that his earnest exclamation. Such a man will walk with God that day. Such a man will have no unhallowed fires lit in his bosom. If you're constantly wanting God to burn pure oil in your life, if you want your light to be the brightest that it can be, hey, God's told his children, ye are the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It is God's will for God's children to shine. But it's not us shining. It's the Lord Jesus Christ shining through us. And the way he shines brightest is when the oil has no leaves in it. When the oil has no twigs in it, no dust in it, no foreign matter is there. It's completely removed. What a prayer it would be for every one of God's children to get out of the bed in the morning and say, "Oh God, help me burn with pure oil today. May I burn with pure oil. And may my light be the brightest it possibly can be." Secondly, the pounding involved. The oil from the olive was to be beaten or bruised in order to be used for the lamp to burn. And one preacher said the beaten oil speaks of the gift of the Holy Spirit as the result of the work of Christ. The Spirit was not given as the indwelling presence of God until Jesus had been glorified. It was through the beating of the cross that the Holy Spirit was poured out as oil on the church. Let us never forget that the opportunity to be Spirit-filled is a great privilege and honor. The opportunity for God's Spirit to indwell us and shine through us, what a privilege. What a blessing. What a blessing. It ought to make us so humble that we fall on our knees and remember the sacrifice that Jesus made that made it possible for the Holy Spirit to take up residence in my heart and life. The Lord's working in my heart about the Holy Spirit of God. I desire to take this church through Bible doctrine classes and Bible doctrine sermons. And there's a lot of Bible doctrine. I mean, really all preaching, biblical preaching, has doctrine in it, so to speak. But the Lord is burdening my heart about the Holy Spirit. When you think about the Holy Spirit of God, He doesn't elevate Himself. He elevates the Lord Jesus. He doesn't speak of himself, he speaks of the Lord. So a ministry should not be so focused on the Holy Spirit that they bypass the Lord Jesus Christ. That is anti-biblical. But we understand that we can learn about the Holy Spirit of God. And when you study him and how he works, he's identified as wind in the Bible. He's identified as fire in the Bible. He's identified as oil in the Bible. I mean, God's taken me on a journey about the Holy Spirit. And as we think about the oil, let us rejoice that that oil has been made possible because the olive was beaten. The olive was pounded. And that's the cross of Christ. Number three, the purpose involved. The purpose of the oil was what? To make the light shine. To make it burn continually as the only light source in the holy place. And that's the point where I brought out that the oil was absolutely necessary for the lamp to burn in the holy place. Without the oil, the lamp will not give the needed light. Something interesting to note is how the Israelites were commanded to bring the oil, but never to make it. Interesting, isn't it? You bring it, don't you make it. You say, what's this mean? Now, I know somebody had to beat it and somebody had to bruise it. I understand that. But he's talking about the people in general. You tell them to bring it, but you don't tell them to make it. Olive oil is a natural product. It cannot be made by man. You listening to what I'm saying? It can only be brought by man. The Israelites were to produce what God provided naturally. The Holy Spirit is God's normal provision for Christian living. The believer is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, thus producing what God provided for His service. God's children have been commanded to shine in this dark world. I've already quoted part of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, where it says, "You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." However, God's children cannot burn brightly themselves. We must have the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. This is not an option. It's a necessity. One preacher said, without the fullness of the Holy Spirit's supply, the light of witness in believers burns dimly. The candlestick could not do its work without its supply of oil. The child of God cannot do what he has been redeemed to do without the supply of the Spirit of God. Andrew Murray wrote, "It's the will of God that every child of God should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Without the fullness of the Holy Spirit, no member of the body, no child of God can come up to the Father's ideal for his life and his service." Miss Lashley said, "We are utterly dependent upon the Holy Spirit for maintaining the spiritual glow." The point is this. There are too many of God's children trying to do God's work in their own energy, their own flesh. There are too many people who are burning out in the work of God. They're burning out, burning out, burning out. You may tell you why? Because they've lost contact with the oil. When you lose contact with the oil, you will burn down quickly. God never made this life to be lived by me. He made this life for me to yield my life to Him. So His Holy Spirit, when He comes in, and He has, thank God, fills me up fresh and new all the time to keep the light burning so a lost and dying world can see Jesus in me. It's not my light, it's His light. It's a necessity, it's an essential. We must have His power. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:6, "Then He answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." John 15:5, Jesus said, "I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." The purpose involved, it's essential that the light has oil to burn brightly. Then we close with this thought, the preparation involved. Remember, the oil was to be ordered, prepared from evening to morning on behalf of the children of Israel. In this, I want to apply this in two ways. First of all, we see the need for constant filling of oil. It was not a one-time filling, talking about filling up, you see. But it was multiple fillings. In the same way, we cannot accumulate the oil of the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot hold it in reserve. You cannot live on past fillings of the Holy Spirit. Rather, we must daily be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Those words, be filled, by the way, that's a command. Those words, be filled, are in the present action tense. Present action. Thus calling for continuous and habitual action. Here's what he's saying. no matter what time of the day it is, no matter what day of the week it is, no matter what year it is, no matter what month it is, no matter where you're at, now, present tense action, be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled now. Be filled now. There's a constant need for fresh oil in my life. I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God once. That's salvation. But I'm to be filled with the Holy Spirit continuously. This is one way we apply this. Then we apply it in another way, the preparation involved. We need constant oil. But we see the importance of it. Because this chapter closes, says, on the behalf of the children of Israel. Interesting, isn't it? Bring the oil so the light can shine on behalf of the children of Israel. It's reported that the importance of these words is to show how God's children are to keep the lights turned on so others may see. Notice this was to be a statute forever, the Bible says. In other words, this was a lifetime commitment to have oil to burn the lamp on behalf of the Israelites. Here's what he's saying, there's no place to stop. One preacher put it this way, many saints forget this perpetual commitment to service to the maintaining of God's work. Often churches die because the people lost their commitment to the work. One preacher said, as priests today, talking about believer priests, today Christians are to keep the light of witness burning brightly in God's temple for the benefit of those who walk in the darkness of this world. Let me just say loud and clear as I'm starting to come down for a close here, and I've got this in all capital letters. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not an option. It's a necessity. Before the Chicago fire in 1871, two ladies sat in the front of Mr. D.L. Moody's church and prayed for him while he preached. That troubled him. After a while, he had a meeting with them. And in the meeting, they told him that they were praying for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Moody thought he had already had power. He was pastoring the largest church in Chicago at that time and preaching to the largest congregations in the city, and lost people were being saved in his services. But after a while, he started hungering for spiritual power. After the Chicago fire, Mr. Moody started traveling to raise money to rebuild because things were destroyed. By that time, he had started praying for himself, and he said this, and I quote, "There came a great hunger into my soul. I did not know what it was. I began to cry out as I never had before. I did not want to live if I could not have power for service. Well, one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred an experience to name. I can only say that God revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went on preaching again. The sermons were no different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience if you should give me all the world. It would be as the small dust in the balance." What happened to him is he got so hungry for the power of the Holy Spirit of God that God gave it to him. And even though he was doing the same things, he had a special unction. Saying the same things, preaching the same way, but yet as he preached, people were getting saved by the hundreds. What made the difference? Fresh oil. Oil for the light is both a blessing and a challenge to our hearts. Let us rejoice in the fact that fresh, pure oil has been provided by the sacrifice, the beating, the bruising of the Lord Jesus. But along with this, let us realize the absolute necessity that we have of being filled constantly with the Holy Spirit of God in order to shine in this lost, dying world. I'm closing my Bible. I'm going to ask you not to, if you wouldn't mind. But I want to talk to you just a minute. What our homes need are Spirit-filled husbands and Spirit-filled wives. What our bus routes need are Spirit-filled bus drivers, bus captains, secretaries, helpers, runners. What our Sunday school needs is Spirit-filled teachers and group captains. What our church needs, Spirit-filled Christians. What a lost and dying world is crying out for are Spirit-filled Christians. I want you to put your life under the spiritual microscope. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I truly anointed with fresh oil? Am I truly Spirit-filled? It simply means controlled. That's what it means. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess. You ever seen a drunk? Saying things, doing things under the influence of alcohol, and the alcohol's doing it through them. You ever seen it? Interesting. God follows that up. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't let alcohol control you. Let the Holy Spirit control you. Are you Spirit filled? This is what we need. May I encourage you to do something tonight if God so leads? As whoever's playing the piano, if you'll just make your way to the piano, just begin to play through. Look here, folks. Look here. I know it's tempting when a preacher does that to start closing shop. Please don't close shop on me. I want to challenge every one of us tonight to get on our faces and beg God for fresh oil. I want fresh oil. Do you? This is what we need. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Not going to have any singing. No singing. If you want to get out of your seat right now and come to this altar and say, God, give me fresh oil. God, fill me. Fill me fresh. Help me to be a Spirit-filled father, a Spirit-filled husband, a Spirit-filled wife, a Spirit-filled bus worker, Sunday school worker, Spirit-filled Christian. If you want to just turn around in your seat and get on your knees there, help yourself. Help yourself. If you can't get on your knees, God knows that. But I hope that you'll bow your head there and use this time to pray, ask God to fill you fresh and new. Fall fresh on me. Take me. Mold me. Shape me. Fill me. Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh on me. If you're praying, I'd like you to stay right here. I don't want you to go back to your seat. We're going to conclude right here momentarily. playing through softly, I'd like them to continue to do that. If you're through praying, I'd like you to look this way. Stay right where you're at, but I'd like you to look this way. I hate to give announcements. A few things I need to say. We need to vote on something tonight, and then I'm going to ask our preacher to end this service by asking God to give us fresh oil. You say, Jody, do you know somebody that's Spirit-filled? I do. Been around somebody Spirit-filled? I have. Give me one person you know has God's filling on his life. He's sitting right there in front of me. Right there he is. Preacher Lashley. There are many I could call your name to that, but it's appropriate to remind you of how I feel about this dear man of God. May the Lord help us with this. If you finish praying, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you back to your seat if you're through praying. I want to remind you of a couple things, and then Brother Bob, if you'll come, and we'll vote on this. And I'm going to have preacher close our service by praying for fresh oil. All children up to the sixth grade will receive your world mission passport this coming Wednesday. If you've not signed up for the Parade of Nations 3-year through 12th grade, please do that. See Brother Bob to sign up for that. And I encourage all teen families to sign up tonight for the Teen Family Recharge. So again, they'll get their passport Wednesday night. See Brother Bob for Parade of Nations. Teen families sign up for the recharge. I call the church in the session.